WSVX W243CL Shelbyville. High school basketball is on.
Driving hard on the left hand as nobody stopped ball and getting to the glass and finishing for two.
High school basketball is brought to you by Blue River Restoration, Shelby County Drug-Free Coalition, McKay Manor, First Bank Shelbyville.
Two post players working well together.
Acra Automotive.
Nice high-low play there, walling off her defender.
Cagney's Pizza King. Sandman Brothers. J&B Quality Home Furnishings. High school basketball is also brought to you by Stanley Jones Insurance. Major Health Partners. BP Dock Shots. Christian Electric. Hoosier Realtor. Penny Acres. Clark Orthodontics. Shelby Materials. H&R Block. Maximum Result.
With a weather forecast that may be more reminiscent of the Shelby County Tournament, the Morristown Yellow Jackets go for the biggest prize, the Indiana State Basketball Tournament Championship, today from Indianapolis and Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Fourth rank, 27-2, Morristown meets third rank Southwood with a record of 25-3 for the 1A state title. Good morning, Johnny McCurry, live Bankers Life Fieldhouse on Giant FM Sports. Our 1A state championship coverage and our pregame brought to you by Stanley Jones Insurance, insurance service you can rely on. We may start the beginning of a basketball season like many, saying something like, every team out there has a dream of going to Bankers Life and playing for a state championship, but one of them will celebrate it in just a couple of hours.
Yeah, Southwood started the year highly ranked, and they've had that idea that they could end up here all year. Morristown, they knew they had some pieces, and they knew they could be capable, I think, of getting to a regional, but I don't think this community or this team really thought much past a regional. And then after the performance down in Martinsville a couple of weeks ago, I think everybody's expectations changed, and then everybody started thinking, man, this could actually go to Bankers Life Fieldhouse, and it has, and Morristown's here today playing for a state championship.
Two top 10 teams collide, top five teams collide in this championship game. When you take a look at what Southwood has done to get here, they eliminated 10th-ranked Lafayette Central Catholic. That ended a 16-year sectional championship run by Lafayette Central Catholic. And then last week, the upset, third-ranked Southwood over top-ranked and heavily favored Fort Wayne Blackhawk. Now, Fort Wayne Blackhawk eliminated two top-10 teams before getting kicked out of the tournament themselves, beating 7th-ranked Gary 21st Century and 9th-ranked Covenant Christian out of DeMont. That leaves the rest of the top 10 gone because of Morristown.
Yeah, we talked a little bit ago when we came on. It has received votes in the 1A poll all year. That's who Morristown knocks off in a championship game. And then that regional with University, who at the time was ranked number one or two. Number two, they had been ranked number one throughout the year. And then that championship game with Tindley. And then last week, Bar Reeve, just a great program at Bar Reeve, a young team this year, but a team that was ready to play and almost knocked off Morristown. But, yeah, the Jackets have run through a great deal of competition to get here, and they definitely deserve it. Southwood deserves it. Knocking off Fort Wayne Blackhawk last week for Southwood was a big-time win, keeping that score down 55-53. And to keep Blackhawk in that range point-wise was a big defensive effort.
State tournament appearance. Go back to the very first state tournament. The year was 1911. And basically, teams were chosen by being the best in their legislative district. 12 teams go down to the IU men's gym. Morristown was ousted by Walton in their first game, didn't advance any further, and even Fred Miller didn't see that game.
Well, there's some stories, and some probably are true, some have been fabricated along throughout the years, but there's some stories about that 1911 team and what took place that day and exactly how they might have lost and what happened to them. And they were, that was a team led by Brainerd Nelson, who in Morristown back in those days was a part of a Nelson family who had a big canning factory in Morristown. So that Nelson name has been around for a long time, and he was a notable player on that team. But a lot of stories about that 1911 team, nobody's really been able to pinpoint which ones are true and which ones have been made up over the years.
Morristown, of course, with one state championship in its history that belonged to the volleyball team in 2003. There's one state title in Southwood's history as well. That was in football in 2002, and football will be very much a part of the conversation with this current Southwood basketball team.
Yeah, absolutely. Two big-time players. Carson Blair is a North All-Star starting quarterback, and talking to head coach John Burris, that's a pretty good spot for a 1A quarterback to be in, to be leading a North All-Star team. We know all the big-time schools up in the North that play football. So Carson Blair, he's one of their 1,000-point scorers. They also have an all-state wide receiver in Peyton Trexler. He's another 1,000-point scorer, and he's their leading scorer at 19.7 points a game. So Trexler and Blair, two all-state caliber football players. So the athletes for Southwood might be an issue for Morristown here today.
How about the potent offensive ability between these teams?
Yep.
Hayden Langcable, of course, we've talked about for his career and at length in this postseason. Now well over 2,000 points for his career. Eli Strievel for Morristown over 1,000. If not for injury last season, Logan Laster would be in the 1,000-point neighborhood now. And three 1,000-point scorers in the same class for Southwood, with a junior, Dallas Holmes, knocking on the door.
Right, well, everybody knows that's listening to us knows Morristown's a three-headed monster. Carlton and Theobald also chip in where they can, but Morristown's led by Langcable, Laster, and Strievel. Southwood has four guys. They don't have the potent high scorer that Langcable might be, but Dallas Holmes, who you mentioned, he'll become a 1,000-point scorer. He averages 17, Peyton Trexler 19, Carson Blair 17, almost 18, and Matthew Knows 13.3 points a game. So they got four or five guys that can really score the basketball, and they average about 77 as a team. So last week, that even goes to show what a game plan they had to put in place that went really against what they like to do, but they knew they couldn't get into a track meet with Blackhawk. They slowed it down, took Blackhawk out of their game, and were able to get out of that with a semi-state championship.
The coaches and ADs have been here for a meeting. The teams have been here for one short practice session. The teams have been back again for a luncheon hosted by the IHSAA. When, after a tip at 10:37 a.m., does this become just a basketball game?
Well, I think it'll take a couple trips up and down the floor. We've seen that so far along the way for Morristown. They've practiced here, but really it won't be until they've come up and down the floor. You might see a couple early turnovers from both teams, maybe some missed shots, hopefully not for the Jackets, but it'll take a couple trips up and down the floor. But once that first bit of contact, once the first basket goes down, I think you're going to see two teams settle in, and we should have an outstanding 1A championship game here today.
I'm excited about the fan base that Morristown has been carrying this postseason. Excited as well that Wayne and Martha Wood will be in attendance at this game. They have a suite. And especially combined, I dare you to find anybody who can say they've seen as much Morristown basketball as Wayne and Martha.
Yeah, your interview was really good the other day, and it was... And with all the technology, 20, 30 years from now, people will still be able to go in and listen to Wayne and Martha Wood's comments about this bunch, and I think that's going to live on for a long time, and people 20, 30 years from now are really going to appreciate that you did that interview. So I know everybody in Morristown really loves those two, and they love this team.
Bring you some of my conversation with Wayne and Martha Wood talking about this year's edition of the Yellow Jackets. Being away in Texas back in 1954 when Marvin led Milan to their state championship, and even which Yellow Jag lives right across the street. Wayne and Martha Wood here on our pregame on Giant FM.
Well, I'm going to tell you, they're a great bunch of boys, and they're well disciplined, and I'll tell you, I think Coach has had a lot to do with them, because there's not one individual that seems like they're better than one another, but there is one extra good player on that team, I think. Of course, Martha there is exceptional to one player, the one across the street there. And he sets a, he's shy, but he's a good and hard-nosed player. And we love every one of them because they're a well-disciplined bunch of boys. We love them. We love them all.
Now, Morristown is a small enough town, but he did mention you've got a neighbor you can keep an eye on. Talk about right. Talk about the nearest one to you as far as geography goes over here.
Well, that's Trevon Carlton, and he's the only one that we really know, but we're just crazy about all of them and fortunate to have them as our team this year.
You folks have had a lot of basketball here in Morristown. Can you maybe touch on some highlights or maybe something this team's reminded you of the way they played this year?
Well, they play unselfish. They're an unselfish team. What we like about them, they just, they don't care who scores. They just play together as a team.
They certainly don't disappoint, though, in getting points on the board this bunch, do they?
No, they don't. They're well disciplined, and they can shoot that ball.
I wanted to ask you, because I'd be remiss if I didn't ask, take me back to Marvin's days with Milan, if you would. And in particular, we were talking about that special night, but you were, both of you, in Texas. Yeah, back in 54.
We wasn't around when he made that run. It was a great run, and he was proud of that bunch of boys. And they were just a bunch of farm boys, and they was just about like this team. You know, they was just destined to go places. Everything turned out good.
Martha, as I understand it, you were in a car, but you could pick up an Indiana radio station, and I think your seat in the car changed, but then went back to where it was during the ball game.
Yes, we had, our son was just a baby, and he was fussy, and I was in the back seat with him till he went to sleep. Then I got up in the front seat so I could hear better. And then Mylan went behind, and Wayne's very superstitious, and he made me get in the back seat till Mylan got ahead, and I had to end the game in the back seat.
That pretty much how it goes?
That's the way it went. That's whatever, the way it went.
Whatever it takes, whatever it takes.
Yeah. The crowds that have followed this team from the Shelbyville game that was right here in town to the ones here in the postseason, have you seen anything quite like this for this school?
No, and down there at Seymour, it was bigger than ever. I never seen such a crowd, and I don't think you could hardly get a person to turn around down there. Was you guys down there?
Yep. I was pretty pleased to have my seat reserved in a corner where I could hide a little bit.
Oh, my. I never seen such a crowd. Boy, every nook and corner was full. Man, them two good basketball games. Two good ones.
Do you get nervous during the games, or is it
right now? But I know it's going to turn out just great. I just have all the confidence in those boys, and I know they'll do the very best, and I just have all the confidence in them.
Are you headed up to Bankers Life on Saturday?
Oh, yes.
Yes, we are. Okay. We're going to be in the suite. That way we won't be in anybody's way.
Any predictions for Saturday?
Morristown. Yep. Even if they win by one, that's good enough for us.
My conversation with Wayne and Martha Wood, a pleasure stopping by their Fletcher Street home to record just a bit with them for our pregame here today. Talking with them about the crowds and seeing what the fandom has been like following this team. Morristown, no matter how big the crowd, better be loud today, because game two of the morning session doubleheader has 11th-ranked Forest Park battling 6th-ranked Oak Hill in the 2A game. Oak Hill and Southwood are neighbors. There will be an added fan base for Southwood in this game.
Yep, no doubt about it. Oak Hill's fan, looks like their fan section's right next to Morristown, which is right across. So Oak Hill will be directly across the floor from Southwood. So the side of the floor down opposite Morristown's bench could be pretty loud at times. Something that Morristown will have a disadvantage at. But this Morristown crowd has been loud. They've grown as this team has advanced. It started with a big turnout against Shelbyville, a sectional crowd that started to grow a little bit each night, and then a big turnout down at Martinsville, and then obviously last week at Seymour. Morristown held their own crowd-wise with three huge fan bases.
Coming up on our pregame report, brought to you by Stanley Jones Insurance, our coaches' conversations brought to you by First Bank Shelbyville. Head coach Scott McClellan of the Yellow Jackets up next on Giant FM.
Get the inside story on Giant FM Sports.
Giant FM Sports pregame ahead of the 1A state championship here from Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Morristown head coach Scott McClellan with us. The all-important first question on this huge day. How are your brackets look right now?
First time in my life I've never filled out brackets.
Really?
First time in my life I've never watched a selection show. I had to call Kevin on Sunday night after I came back after the day of the selection show and asked him. I said, who are the number one seeds? It's the first time. I just I can't believe I didn't do it, but I just was so consumed with our team and our tournament run. So have not really even had a chance to watch. I've tried to follow Purdue as much as possible, text a little bit with PJ, but haven't really been following as much. I'm hoping to after Saturday.
To win a state championship is a remarkable enough thing. If you do it, you will have eliminated half of the top 10 yourself on the way to the title.
Yeah, I mean, whatever happens, this group has certainly earned this. I mean, I'll start with Hauser, and I'll even throw Oldenburg in there. They were a 15-win team and really good. Our regional was, just a gauntlet. I mean, with Tinley, with University, Bloomfield kind of came in there quietly, and they were really good. I mean, they had Tinley on the ropes, too, and then Bar Reeve, obviously. This group has certainly, they've earned the right to be in this game on Saturday.
On occasion, you can find a good team that can dominate many of its opponents, but maybe not field such a successful rate when playing in a close game. This team's response rate when it gets in trouble in a game, if that point comes up, their response has been terrific.
It really has, and I credit the kids on that. They've just been resilient. They've been hard-nosed. They've been tough. They're a really grounded group, and, they don't panic when things don't go their way. They just kind of bond more together, and, I think you saw that when Hauser made the run in the sectional semifinals. The back-and-forth game there with University, the Tinley game where we got down early, Bar Reeve, they got up 8. There was no panic. There was no frustration. It was just even keel. Stick to the plan. We're going to get through this, and we did.
I know this is the state championship game, but for sheer atmosphere, can you beat what you went through at Seymour last weekend?
You know, I don't know. I mean, that was something special. I mean, I talked to people that were just there as basketball purists, basketball enthusiasts, so to speak, and said that they hadn't seen anything like that. And to be a part of it, and just, you know, I tried after the game to kind of just look around. And, 8,100 people. I mean, it does show that, you know, the high school basketball is still thriving. There is still the Hoosier hysteria. There is still an importance. There's a significance to high school basketball in this state. And, you know, you saw that last week. You saw that at Martinsville for us. And, you know, just reading things and looking at different things on the internet, you saw that at all the other sites, whether it was the far north or the far south. You know, Bankers Life's going to be packed for the morning games, and I fully anticipate them having great crowds for the evening games, for the 3 and 4A games.
The opponent is Southwood, like Morristown, making its first championship game appearance in boys basketball. Good losses, Wapahani, Huntington North early, an 0-2 start, an Oak Hill squad in overtime that they beat in a 2A sectional a year ago. I see a lot of similarities from maybe type of schedule, certainly points per game production from these teams.
There's some similarities for sure. I mean, you know, they're guard-oriented just like much like we are. They've got 3 1,000-point scorers, a fourth guy that's, you know, floating around it. You know, we've got Hayden with 2,000, Eli with 1,000, Logan's right there, and Logan be a 1,000-point scorer had he not missed 10 games to injury last year. So, you know, they do a good job of getting to the basket, kind of like us. They're guard-oriented. They have a little more size, but I think from a defensive standpoint, you know, they do a lot more pressing, trapping, much more zone-oriented with different, you know, shifts and different rotations out of their zone, whereas we, you know, we'll play some zone, but don't necessarily trap the way they do. We try to play man. They probably have a little more size. I think that we might have a little more depth, but they've got four really good players and athletes. I mean, you know, just starting with Trexler and Blair. You know, Trexler's going to go play football at Marion. Blair play small college basketball. I mean, he can shoot it from anywhere. The Holmes kid and the Nose kid have been very good. And Roberts has accepted his role. And you know, that's probably another similarity. I mean, you know, much like Theobald, a little different, but have both thrived in the roles that they have to play for their teams. So those are some of the similarities. While there is those similarities, there are some drastic differences. And like I alluded to with, you know, they kind of press and trap and do some different things out of their zone, whereas we try to play, you know, man. We'll press a little bit. You know, if we have to play some zone, which we've had to in the tournament, that's okay. But they like to get the ball out and go. We like to get the ball out and go. They asked that today about the styles. Was tempo going to change? You know, I think at this point, you just got to keep doing what you're doing. And play the best defense you possibly can to limit some of what they do. But I don't think we need to start changing who we are this late in the season.
Are they any better at zone because it's what they do, as opposed to some teams we've seen who have decided to zone you simply out of necessity? They didn't want to guard you man-to-man.
You know, I think that's kind of their scheme. They really thrive on trying to mix up their zones and their rotations out of their zones. A lot of times you'll say 2-3, but, you know, a shift or a slide a different way, or, you know, instead of the forward, you know, coming to play, he'll stay back. The guard will come and play a wing. I think the big thing is with them is you can't turn the ball over. We have got to take care of the ball, and much more so than any other game, because they rely so much on their press and they get a ton of run out layups. I think we got to defend the 3-point line. I think those two things are probably the biggest keys for us. Obviously we've got to rebound, we've got to do some other things, but I just think from an offensive standpoint, we've got to take care of the ball. We're going to get easy shots, but we have to take advantage of getting those easy shots. And, you know, defensively, we got to keep them out of the paint. We got to defend the 3-point line. If we can do that, I feel good about what we can accomplish here today.
Good luck. Thank you. Have fun.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Scott McClellan with us. Coach's Conversation brought to you by First Bank Shelbyville from the 1A State Championship on Giant FM Sports.
Take the action with you at Giant FM.
Southwood head coach John Burris is in his 11th season with the Knights program after 7 years at North Miami High School. This Southwood team, one of their three losses came to Oak Hill, who will play in the next game for the 2A state championship. That was in double overtime. The other two losses began the year with a record of 0-2, but it was a team that was dealing with adversity. Last June, a 5-bypass surgery for head coach John Burris, and then later, right before the start of this season, he lost his brother, who died in November leading into the season. It is a potent team offensively. Three 1,000-point scorers. In fact, the all-time leading scorer in Wabash County history is on this team. He's not the leading scorer for this team this season. John Burris, the head coach at Southwood.
Well, just for example, Carson Blair, our second leading scorer, he's the leading scorer in Wabash County history. He was named the quarterback for the North All-Star team in football. So, and for a single-A school, you know, that crosses all classes. And we've got Fort Wayne and South Bend and all these great football areas. Carson Blair, he's been tremendous in football, but what a leader he's been for us in basketball. Then you throw in Peyton Trexler, our leading scorer, who's a dynamic point guard. He's the most improved player I've ever coached from his junior year to senior year. His ball handling, his shooting, his leadership have all made huge strides. Then Matt Nose, they're all 1,000-point scorers in one class. Sometimes you see that maybe a two juniors and a senior, but three together, I think it's pretty incredible in one group. And those guys have just led us. I mean, they've done a great job of getting us to this point. And then you throw Dallas Holmes in, the 6'4 kid who had 23 against Fort Wayne Blackhawk. He's just been there all year, and he's going to get to 1,000. He's almost 800 points as a junior. So just an incredible group as far as how they play together, and that senior leadership's been there all year.
Take me back to last weekend's game against Blackhawk.
Well, you're walking into a situation where it's an absolute sellout. I mean, they could have had that at the Fort Wayne Coliseum and probably had 10,000 people there easily with Westview there and Oak Hill. They're close to us. They have a great crowd. And then our crowd in Blackhawk, what an incredible scene it was to play there. It was Indiana basketball. That scene there, the emotion, the feeling I felt when we won that semi-state, the pressure on that floor of that crowd was something. I've been coaching varsity for 19 years. I've never felt anything like it. We beat Fort Wayne Lures with Deshaun Thomas in 2010 and ended his high school career at the regional. That was unbelievable. This feeling, though, was a lot like that when we beat Fort Wayne Blackhawk. And the feeling of our kids going to the state finals and realizing that, I'm sure the Morristown kids had the same feeling with the teams they've been through to get here.
I know that I read an article, but it talks about how you had dealt with some health problems at one point, and I know the passing of your brother right before the season began.
Yeah, it's been tough. I mean, I got with my team. My brother died, Paul Burris. He died in November 5th, right at prime time of starting the season, and it took me down a notch. And, you know, these kids have helped pick me up. You know, they've really helped me deal with the grief of losing my only brother. He was 6 years older than me. And I just came off in June 28th. I had 5-bypass surgery. I've had quite a year. And then, you know, I've been coaching all these years. And then this year, the year my brother passes away and the year I had bypass surgery, now we're in the state finals. And all I can say about it is God's been good to us. We've been able to endure. A lot of people watch how you handle things, and he's seeing us through this time. But, you know, my brother, I know, would be very proud. He loved watching this team, and he predicted last year to his wife that we were going to be in the state finals after we lost to Frankton. I guess he was right.
Run through the starting five and give us a news or note on each one as you go.
Well, we start with forward Matt Nose. He's our kid that plays in the middle of our defense. We exclusively run the 2-3 zone. Some people think I'm a little bit like Jim Boeheim from Syracuse. We don't run it to that level, but, you know, we work hard at it. And Basil Malby is a guy that used to be in my area. I learned some things from him. But Matt knows anchors our defense. He had 4 blocks against Fort Wayne Blackhawk, which I thought was pretty good with their size. And he averages about 13 a game, but really anchors the middle of our defense. And then our other forward is Dallas Holmes. He's 6'4", plays bigger than that. He's very long, athletic, blocks shots, probably our best rebounder, offensive and defensive. Tremendous three-point shooter. He can really get going. He had a big 3 to give us a 2-point lead. We were down 1 with over a minute to go against Blackhawk. He hit a 3 out of a timeout, and that was big. So Dallas has been there for us all year. He's closing in on 500 points this year. Then you go to the other guard. We have 3 guards. Peyton Trexler, he's our point guard. He's our leading scorer and our point guard, which is unique. He's also an all-state wide receiver, which if you see long passes, you'll see our guys throw him a lot of long passes. It's just him out there playing football, and then he can't fumble it. He's got to dribble it. So he does a great job for us out front. He's a great leader. I think he's over 100 steals now, well over 100 assists. He's 19 points a game. Ethan Roberts is our defensive guy. He's a guard. He's one of those guys that gets overlooked a lot because of all the scores, but he can hit 3s. But he is tremendous on defense. He can run people down from behind. He's got steal after steal from the backside, running guys down. And then the guy that everybody tries to stop on our team is Carson Blair, an all-state kid, all-everything, guy that can score. You're going to look at him shooting and go, he cannot shoot from there, and he will shoot very comfortably from 30 feet. He's taken a back seat with his scoring to make us better. He could probably average 30 a game, but he's averaged 18 a game, and he's had games over 30. He's pushed 40 points. But this team's better with him just, you know, dishing out the ball, and Carson is just a guy that he is determined to win. That's what he's all about. He's a winner, and I think that's really rubbed off on this whole group as – you know, because of his leadership.
What impressions of Morristown?
Oh, yeah. Morristown, they're really good on offense. They're very well coached. Don't like to lose. And that's why they're here. If they were in any way a team that had some losing in their mindset, they'd be gone already. But they've won games because they're a winning team. And that sounds a little clicky or weird, but when I say that, I mean when all the adversity comes in games, sometimes they're at their best. You know, when things look, well, it's not looking real good here, well, then they'll go on a run and they'll make plays. They've got game changers. You know, their main players, what's the 25? He is unbelievable, what he brings. And you guys played down in that Seymour semi-state, which, you know, there's all this hoopla about the other game, you know, coming in there. But there was a lot of Morristown people there. And, you know, that was an interesting game to watch unfold with Bar Eve with their tradition and what they bring. And, you know, for them to get through, like I said, University, to get through Tinley, and then to get through Bar Eve, that's a tough, tough road in single A. And those guys are showing their toughness and their – they're a winning team because all those teams could be here right now.
John Burris, head coach of Southwood. The Knights and the Morristown Yellow Jackets are on the floor at Bankers Live Fieldhouse ahead of our tip coming up at the bottom of the hour in this 1A state championship. You know, when we sat down and talked with Coach Burris, it was Monday, so you're really just hours removed from having won the semi-state. I was kind of intrigued by what he said about Morristown. I mean, he could have said the usual, they're well coached, I know they score a lot. He did note both of those. But it was the way he talked about how I believe they are a winning basketball team, because if they didn't play with that mentality, we wouldn't be talking about them right now anyway.
Well,
that just goes to show you the respect that the state of Indiana has for Indianapolis Tinley, Bar Reeve, and University, and Hauser for that matter. The road Morristown has taken to get here, John Burris knows exactly how hard that was.
Coming up on our pregame report from Bankers Life Fieldhouse, the maximum results starting lineups. You're listening to the 1A State Championship on Giant FM
Hello.
Sports.
Giant FM Sports.
Giant FM Sports coverage of the 1A State Championship being brought to you in part by J.R. Wortman, the Shelby County contractor. Freeman Family Funeral Homes, history made, memories preserved, and promises kept. And Clark Orthodontics, great orthodontics, terrific smiles. Clark Orthodontics in Shelbyville. Morristown 27-2, Southwood 25-3. The opponents for today's 1A State Championship at the 108th Boys State Tournament. Johnny McCurry, Jason Parker. Let's take a look at our maximum results starting on. It's ranked number 4 in 1A basketball with a record of 27-2, coached by Scott McClellan in his 10th year with the program and 15th year overall. Starting at one guard, the school's all-time leading scorer, Hayden Langcable, the 6-foot senior wearing number 25, shooting 57% from the field, averaging just under 27 points per game. He had 27-21 in the second half to beat Bar Reeve last week.
Well, an outstanding career by Hayden Langcable, and if it's possible, he has elevated his game even more in this postseason. Everybody knows about his 46-point performance against Tinley last week, equally as impressive with, like you mentioned, 21 points in that second half to close out Bar Reeve.
Logan Laster starts at a guard, wearing number 22, the 6-foot junior. 13 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists per game. All of those categories have gone up in the post.
Big game today. He's playing at a high level. Him and Langcable are two of the best 1A guards that we'll see all year.
At a guard, a 6-foot senior, number 23, Eli Strievel. 15 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists per game, and the focus of our injury report brought to you by MHP. Experience the major difference. It's been a wrapped right wrist, which has hampered the outside shooting of Eli Strievel.
Yeah, it has. He's still been able to knock a few down from here from time to time, and Morristown will really need him today to knock down 3 or 4, stretch this defense out a little bit, give Laster and Langcable room to operate against a 2-3 zone, which is more of what Morristown may see today.
At a guard, 5'11 junior, number 33, Logan Theobald, averaging 4 points, 4 rebounds per game. He made one shot last week, but was crucial down the stretch.
Yeah, he made a big shot last week, grabbed a huge offensive rebound to give Morristown another look at the basket. He needs to play solid today, keep that confidence level up, do whatever the team needs him to do today to get a win.
At a forward, a 6'2 sophomore, Trevon Carlton, number 32, 7 points and 4 rebounds per game. It was his start against Bar Reeve, which was critical last week.
Well, got off to a great start and had to guard 6'8 Keegan O'Neill. This week he won't have a 6'8 guy to guard, but 6'4 Matthew Knows will probably be his matchup. And right now, watching Matthew warm up, he's a good-sized kid. Not the girth and strength that O'Neill or Gross had this year.
And their postseason run includes victories over Waldron, 68-35, eighth-ranked Hauser in the sectional semifinal, 6-0. Number 2, University, 55-53, and sixth-ranked and defending champ Indianapolis Tinley, 82-64, and then last week, gave Bar Reeve its first ever semi-state loss, now 5-1 in that program's history, 77-70, to make it out of Seymour and here to Bankers Life Fieldhouse. for the Knights of Southwood. A record of 25-3, ranked number 3 in the final 1A postseason poll. John Burris, the head coach, in his 11th season, 19th year overall, starting at a guard position. 6 foot senior, number 32, Carson Blair, 17.8 points per game, just over 4 rebounds and nearly 3 assists a contest. He is the all-time leading scorer in Wabash County history and an outstanding quarterback on the football team.
Yeah, he's one of their 3 1,000-point scorers, and he's a North-South All-Star starting quarterback, so the athleticism is there. Blair could cause matchup problems for Morristown if they let him get away.
At a guard, a 6 foot senior, he'll play the point, number 20, Peyton Trexler. He is the team's leading scorer, 19.7 per game, leads the team in assists as well, just over 5 per game. He'll play college football as a wide receiver at Marion.
Yeah, all-state wide receiver, 1,000 point scorer. And Trexler's the guy that makes this offense go almost 20 points a game.
6'4 senior forward Matt Nose wears number 34. Just over 13 points and 5 rebounds per ball game. He anchors the middle of the 2-3 zone we'll see from Southwood today.
Yeah, well, Blair might be the quarterback on a football field, but Nose is the quarterback for this defense. You talked about it. He's in the middle of that 2-3 zone, and he'll be big offensively, too, at 6'4", the biggest player on the floor.
At a forward, listed 6'4", a junior, number 10, Dallas Holmes, 17 points, 8 rebounds per ball game, the team's best rebounder on both ends of the floor. He had 23 against Fort Wayne Blackhawk on a day when Carson Blair only scored 5.
Yeah, he's a 3-point guy, long, athletic, and probably Lane Cable will have to match up against him if you're Morristown.
A 5'10 senior guard rounds out the starting lineup. Number 14, Ethan Roberts. Lower scoring, 5 points, 3 rebounds per ball game, but he can hit the 3. And the way Coach Burris talked about him, don't assume if he's behind you trailing the play that he's not still defending you.
Well, he's their defensive stopper, and he'll run you down. So if Morristown gets out on a break, keep your eye on number 14, Ethan Roberts.
You've heard all of the scores. Break it down even further for Southwood. Blair has led the team in... but balance in who they may expect to lead them on a given day. Again, for Morristown, Last, Strievel, Langcable, Carlton, and Theobald. For Southwood, Holmes, Roberts, Trexler, Blair, and Nose. We are closing in on tip-off. Southwood and Morristown for the 1A. Coming up, we'll take a look at the other matchups for the 4 championships today at Bankers Life. You're listening to High School Basketball, Giant FM.
Giant FM Sports, brought to you by Heritage Automotive, every Monday from 6 to 7 p.m.
Morristown retakes the floor after a visit to the locker room a few minutes away from tip-off in this 1A state championship game. Southwood will be in the home whites, Morristown in the road gold. Coming up in game 2 of the morning session, 6th-ranked, 25-5, Oak Hill, matching up against 11th-ranked, 25-4, Forest Park. Oak Hill girls are accustomed to playing at this level. Oak Hill making its first-ever boys' basketball appearance. Forest Park, under Tom Beach and coaches thereafter, they're used to as a program being in this slot.
Yeah, Forest Park gets here by eliminating Indianapolis Cecina down in the Washington semi-state, 58-47. Oak Hill gets here by knocking off Westview out of the North semi-state, 70-64. So very similar teams, and Oak Hill already here with a fan base to support Southwood. Both schools very close together up in northern Indiana.
Later on tonight in the 3A state championship, 4th-ranked, 22-6, Culver will play 25-4, Evansville Bossy. Culver eliminating Newcastle on their way here.
Well, Bossy gets here by eliminating Danville out of that Washington South semi-state. And you mentioned a team we're very familiar with, Newcastle. Maybe next year will be their year, but Culver Academy knocks them off last week at Lafayette Jeff, 65-60.
And in the 4A championship, it will be the undefeated 31-0 Warren Central team coming crosstown to take on their conference rival, 10th-ranked Carmel at 21-7. Last time they played, just over a month ago, it was Warren by a point.
Well, we were there last week when Warren Central, on a last-second runner by David Bell, knocked off Romeo Langford in New Albany, and they'll have Carmel, who got here out of that Lafayette Jeff semi-state, knocking off South Bend Riley and Demazi Anderson, IU commitment. They knocked them off 63-43.
Of course, four games of basketball, state champions to be crowned. There are a lot of other honors that go out during the course of this tournament date as well, including Bob Gardner to be named the Richard G. Luger Award recipient, executive director until he retires later this summer of the National Federation of High Schools. Bob Gardner of Shelbyville, the second annual recipient of this award, named after Richard Luger for distinguished service to interscholastic athletics. He'll receive that at halftime of the 4A game. And during the course of the day as well, official Gary Hamilton of Franklin will receive the Outstanding Basketball Officials Award here today. And there are a lot of guys in suits and ties, and then a lot of other guys behind the scenes that make it possible today, and maybe even more difficult today considering the weather outdoors.
Yeah, well, one thing I like about coming down here, we were down here a couple years ago just to watch, and you see a lot of the IHSA members and ADs from around the state that you don't really know play such a big role in the IHSA, but they're down here on the floor pretty much running the show. They're taking ball racks off the floor. They're doing a lot of little things to keep this moving along. So the IHSAA well represented with some of their leaders down here today.
A couple of examples. Remember Jim Brown, formerly of Triton Central. He's been at Fishers for years. He's been a mainstay here, as has Kevin Horgan, the former athletic director at Greenfield Central. The teams gathering near the benches. Back home again in Indiana, our national anthem, and then starting lineups from Bankers Life Fieldhouse for this 1A state championship. Our coverage of Giant FM Sports here live from the 1A state championship, brought to you by Christian Electric. Big enough to handle any problem, small enough to care. J&B Quality Home Furnishings, the Sleep Source, mattresses, and more. By Major Health Partners, experience the major difference. Shelby Materials, the concrete and aggregate experts. And First Bank Shelbyville, doing great things together. More to come. Tip-off moments away. Morristown and Southwood for the 1A state championship on Giant FM Sports.
Inside story on Giant FM Sports.
The 1A state basketball championship is being brought to you in part by H&R Block. Tax solutions to fit your needs. Fountain Town Gas Company, warming and brightening the lives of area residents. And Ashford Place Health Campus, assisted living, long-term care, memory care, independent living villas, and more. I'm Johnny McCrory, Jason Parker. Southwood and Morristown are set to collide for the 1A state championship, and we sometimes try to leave emotion out of this, but I know how invested you are from being a kid all the way to now in this community. How excited are you for this game?
It's a pretty special day for me, and it's been a special ride to be a part of it in the small way that we are, and just to be able to see these kids take that next step and really perform at the highest level. It's been fun to watch, and I know we've got a lot of people listening that are supporting these kids, and I just hope they come out today and play well and play within themselves, and they've represented Morristown very well all the way through, and I look for that to happen again today.
We have, before everybody's career is done, no doubt, 7 1,000-point scores or more combined between these two teams.
Yep, these teams like to get up and down. They can score points, 77 a game for Southwood, 74, 75 for Morristown. So we'll see who can get to the high mark today. Both teams only play six guys, so we'll see which team can stay within themselves early and maybe avoid foul trouble, because if one team gets in foul trouble, they don't go very deep on that bench.
Fouls were a concern late in the game with Carr Reed. Yep. In fact, Hayden Langcable missed a portion of the first half with foul trouble.
Langcable got a couple early cheap ones, and that really hurt him late. He had to play that fourth quarter very smart. He needs to obviously stay out of trouble today. Eli Strebel, another one who got in foul trouble down at Seymour last week, and Morristown needs those two on the floor for 32 minutes today.
Morristown has been introduced. Their maximum results starting lineups include Logan Laster, Eli Strebel, Hayden Langcable, Trevon Carlton, and Logan Theobald. Southwood being introduced now. Dallas Holmes, Ethan Roberts, Peyton Trexler. With the speed, but also the length of number one Fort Wayne Blackhawk last week. I don't think either one of these teams have an intention of being any different than they've been for most of the rest of the season.
No, I think when you get here and you're as evenly matched size-wise, experience-wise with the other team, you just want to play your game and try to take the opponent out of a few things that they do. But I look for Southwood and Morristown to get up and down the floor today. Morristown is very good out of timeouts. They're very good in their half-court sets. I look for nothing to change for Morristown today. They're going to run their stuff and see if Southwood can stop them.
Southwood defeating number one Fort Wayne Blackhawk Christian. They also defeated 10th-ranked Lafayette Central Catholic in the sectional. That ended a 16-year run of sectional championships for Lafayette Central Catholic. That basically takes it back to another time when we were here, when Central Catholic defeated Southwestern.
Yep, absolutely. A run through the tournament for Southwood that had some blowouts, but a close game against Central Catholic, and last week a two-point win against Blackhawk to get here today.
Ready for tip-off in just a moment. A few more ceremonies as the teams are ready to break huddle, but not everybody else is ready for them to break huddle, and we're going to see again Morristown in road gold trimmed in black, Southwood home whites trimmed in red and black. Knights 25-3, actually began the season 0-2, losing at Wapahani and at Huntington North. The only other loss along the way against Oak Hill, who will play in the game after this. And that was in overtime back in early January.
Here we go, Johnny.
Ready for tip-off. Brought to you by Penny Acres with Hoosier Realtors here for life's big moves. Nose and Carlton in the center circle. And we're underway in this 1A championship. The tip is won by Carlton. Langcable brings it front court, finds Strebel. His pass back for Langcable tipped out of bounds. It'll stay Morristown ball.
I kind of thought Eli was going to pull that corner three. A little jitters maybe early. Pass goes out of bounds. Morristown will have it at half court.
Again, Eli Strebel wearing that right wrist wrap, but it's not as much a wrap as it's been. It's not up around the hand or the thumb, I don't think, as it has been in recent weeks. On the perimeter, Theobald. Now Laster. Laster will back it away on the dribble, defended out to the midcourt line by Roberts. Langcable stop and go. Bangs into a defender, picks up the dribble, gives it up, gets it back. Langcable a three, no good. Rebound, slap loose. Taken out of there by Holmes. He'll push it up court. Off the dribble, it'll be Peyton Trexler with the first two of the game.
Well, it's kind of hard to determine what Southwood's playing here. They're in a 2-3 with a really high guard out on top, but now they're dropped back into a normal 2-3.
They will show several variations of the zone, but they are exclusively a zone team. Up top, Langcable falls down on the dribble, picked up by Blair. He'll throw it ahead to Trexler to the rim. Layup no good, but defended by Strebel, who gives the foul and breaks up the fast break.
Well, Morristown, you can tell, is a little nervous right now. Langcable, Laster, Strebel don't have that look in their eyes just yet, but it'll come here shortly.
Whether you're talking Trexler or Blair or even Nose, there is some muscle tone on this Southwood team.
Yep, these are some football kids from a football school, and Morristown, I think, equally has size, though. I don't think matchup size-wise will be a factor.
Trexler free throw good. Second free throw no. Langcable secures the rebound. Southwood 3-0 lead on the BP Doc Shop scoreboard. Floater in the paint. In and out. Back in. Eli Strebel right. Floating. Straight to the rim for two more. Peyton Trexler off to a good start. Leading score at 19.7 per game. He has five and a 5-2 lead now. Morristown down three with Laster out front. Theobald on the wing. Ball comes around the horn, left side, Strebel. Into the right corner, Carlton. Open look baseline, left it short. Rebound comes down and into the hands of Matthew Nose.
That's a shot Carlton can make and usually does.
Nose driving baseline, beats a defender. His layup is good, and right now, Morristown is getting handled off the dribble by Southwood.
Yeah, they're going to have to get down and lock it down in a stance here before too long.
Strebel baseline, cross-court pass, Laster perimeter jumper. Around and in, good for three by Logan Laster.
Well, he's got one in each of the last three games, and that might get this Morristown team settled down.
7-5 Southwood, just underway. Top of the key three by Blair, no good. Rims off, rebounded by Laster. He'll push front court, beat two defenders out front, lose the dribble, but it ends up shooting right to the baseline and into the hands of Carlton, who lays it in. We're tied at 7, but Peyton Trexler, again, off the dribble, down the right side, baseline layup.
Laster can keep him in front of him. Laster's just not down in a full stance yet. Standing up a little bit too much. Not sure he's ready for Trexler's speed.
Catch and shoot, Strebel. Swish. Good for three. Morristown has its first lead, and we have 19 points on the board in three minutes. Top of the key, a three. Short. Dallas Holmes the miss. Theobald the rebound. Morristown up court with Strebel. Back in the paint to Theobald to the rim. Off the left side, no good. Rebounded away by Holmes.
All five Morristown starters now with a field goal attempt.
Into the front court, Blair. Free throw line jumper over the defender. Good for two, Carson Blair. Southwood recaptures the lead, 11-10. 4.5 left in the period. Langcable under the free throw line, short. Gets his own rebound. Gets his own rebound again. Short on every attempt. Rebounded away by Holmes. Into the front court, Nose. Crossover dribble into the paint. Right hand finish. Good over Carlton. And again, to the rim, off the dribble by Southwood. Now leading Morristown 13-10 as we approach the midway point first period. Laster holding center circle. Defender starts to pressure him, and that's Roberts. Laster by him. Floater to the rim, no good. Rebound Carlton. Jump hook in the paint. Good for two. Up and in off that right hand, Trayvon Carlton with his second field goal. 13-12 Southwood. Nose for Roberts down in the corner. And now Trexler out front. Catch for Holmes, runs into the defender, and a block underneath on Hayden Langcable. His first, team foul number two on Morristown. And a timeout on the floor. The under four timeout here in the first period. BP Doc Shop scoreboard, Southwood 13, Morristown 12. You're listening to the 1A state championship on Giant FM.
Take the action with you at Giant FM.
Giant FM sports coverage of the 1A state tournament being brought to you in part by Morristown Boys and Girls Club, gearing up for its spring carnival and concert. Dylan Schneider, Colton Chapman on the stage coming up the weekend of May 18th. BP Doc Shop scoreboard, 3:37 left to go first period. Southwood and Morristown living up to their high-scoring capabilities. Southwood by one, 13-12.
Well, 13-12, and Southwood's got a lot of their shots right at the basket. Morristown may have to adjust defensively. They're not deep, so if they're going to play man, they're going to have to keep Southwood in front of them. Fouls might start mounting. Morristown may have to think about a 2-3 zone here just to keep that dribble penetration under control.
It's so dangerous against a good offensive and good perimeter shooting team to be that other defender thinking you have to cut off the dribble penetration and leave a man who can hit a shot.
Absolutely. And we saw right there with Langcable trying to stop penetration, picks up a blocking foul. They can't really be putting Langkable in that position too often today, because you're going to have to score points, obviously, to beat this Southwood team. Langkable needs to be on the floor all day long.
Morristown and Southwood, 25 points on the board already with 3:37 left to go here in the first. Morristown back on the floor. No changes out of the timeout. Same can be said for Southwood. Neither one of these teams will go to the bench a great deal in this game.
Both only really play one off the bench. Morristown with Krim, sometimes Brenneman.
Inbounding Southwood from the baseline. It's Blair in the corner. Up top holding is Trexler. He'll put it on the floor. Theobald now defending Trexler. A change in the switch and a steal in the paint by Laster. He'll try to finish it together in, and he does. Laster's second field goal. He has five, and Morristown on top, 14-13. With it on the right wing is Holmes. Stop and go, runs into Laster. Hands off now for Trexler. Roberts, the one you can't afford to play off of. He can hit the three, but he does not look for it. Here's Holmes on the perimeter. Gets airborne, passes for Blair right in front of us on the right wing. An NBA three is short. Rebounded by Laster. Morristown by one with possession. Laster into the paint. Kick in the corner. Strebel, short. Rebound knows he'll push. The 6'4 forward able to put it on the floor.
Better job by Morristown stopping the ball, but Knows gets right to the rim.
And a crossover dribble. He lost Carlton on the perimeter and took it in for two. Knows with his third field goal.
Carlton's going to have to give him a step or two. He can't come right out on him. Make Knows hit a three before you come that hard out on him.
15-14 Southwood. Here's Laster. Strebel to the left of the key. Good for three. Eli Strebel already his third field goal. He has eight. 17-15 Morristown. Trexler to the rim. Runs over a defender. Up.
So, but that would have been two on Langkable. Trexler picks up his first.